Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Apollo, Pennsylvania. A naked man was arrested at a trailer park for assault. At the time, the naked man was tripping on LSD and was covered in cooking oil! Definitely not a Jew!
Pete Holmes is here. Crashing is the name of his show.
Could have been a Jew.
I gotta say,
I know some wild Jews.
No, you do not. I am tickled pink for you, my friend.
Oh yeah,
I love your success. I love Crashing.
I'm honored.
I do not watch many TV shows. Most TV shows are either have to do with cars or Hitler, sure. But I don't do a lot of
sometimes
just
both.
Like
the Volkswagen story.
Ooh, Hitler's cars. Must record. season pass.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, and of course, Crashing, and there's a few others I love. Crashing, I adore. I think I've seen every single episode.
Thank you so much.
And I was realizing as I was thinking about the story and thinking about you and your life and how so much of it is based on your real life, it is Judd Apatow's magic. Is it taking someone like Amy Schumer and going, tell me about your life. Like,
yeah.
Don't write jokes or you had an idea or pitch me this. Just tell me about you.
Right.
And then that's the most compelling.
I think so. And then he really does help people dig deeper. I know he did that with Trainwreck. I'm sure
right.
Amy would say the same. He always kind of pushes whoever he's working with a little bit deeper. For example, I wrote the pilot and I was like, oh, well, Pete will meet like a seasoned comedian. It'll have to be somebody friendly. And I wrote it for like Zach Galifianakis. Then I had a draft, which was Hannibal Buress. And then Judd was like, no, it has to be like a misfit. It has to be somebody that will push you and make you uncomfortable. So, of course, we went to Artie Lang.
Yeah. The thing that's really great about Crashing there are no false notes. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes
sure.
on, but no, like, oh, come on, you know, kind of thing that you see
man.
All the time
right.
in shows are like, you know, oh, you wouldn't
Device.
Do that or you wouldn't react that way.
It's often the stand-up, too. Like, I have a big heart for anybody that's trying to capture our world, but it's really hard unless you just do it with real stand-ups and people doing it in real clubs and real situations.
Well, I was also going to say the stand-up is good stand-up, and there's always a disconnect when Sally Fields or Tom Hanks is telling jokes.
The lockers.
And you're...
The comic lockers.
Yeah.
Everyone in the club is laughing their ass off, but no one in the theater you're watching
yeah.
is laughing. So you have a crowd
That's
here
funny.
And a crowd there, and there's a weird disconnect. As a matter of fact, I would probably say don't go so nuts with the audience, the paid audience
right.
in the movie, because
totally.
It's weird when you're watching alone and you're
it.
Not laughing
yep.
and everyone... And it's like, oh, Sally's slang, but...
Right.
The thing about Crashing is the audience reacts sometimes, other times it flies over their head or
totally.
They don't get it, but you, it's commensurate with what mm-hmm. you're feeling about the
right.
joke.
And you know what you do? You just do nothing. We wouldn't tell the extras anything. This is one of Judd's secrets, I suppose, of directing. He directed the pilot, was you just have a big group of people. You can't serve them drinks or anything, but some of them were drunk. One guy fell asleep. So I remember seeing a guy fall asleep, and I was like, here I am on my own HBO show doing stand-up, all these cameras, and there's still a guy asleep in the front row. But you just do a show for them. You don't tell them. We never would say, like, Pete's going to bomb, because then they'd overdo it. You know
right,
what I mean? They're
right.
all actors, and they're going to try and really nail it.
Yeah,
they're going to be like, next! And I'm like, just be real. So what we'd do is, like, my character has to bomb a lot, because Crashing, it's not called flourishing, it's called crashing.
Right. Thriving.
It's about getting kicked in the nuts over and over and over. So we wanted to show that for real. So what we would do is I would go out, I would do material that I actually wrote at that time in my life, because you can't do bad stand-up. you have to do stand-up that's early sounding.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had a lot of stuff about like road signs and ice packs, and I had a joke about RoboCop and how Robo isn't a good abbreviation for robot. That's the sort of material I'm doing. And what you do is you do it once, and they do laugh because they're trying to be good sports. Then you'd have us, Judd would have me do it again. Mm-hmm. Like just tell the joke again and never explain what you're doing. And of course, they're going to laugh a little bit, then do it again, then do it again. And this is how we got all the bombing footage, which was actually the second season. More of the people were wise that it was my show, so they'd laugh more. So I was like, please stop. I have to do very badly here. Tell the joke over and over.
Well, the show is incredibly enjoyable.
Thanks.
And I look forward to it.
What is the Adam Carolla episode? There has to be. You're such a good counterpart to Pete. Meaning, like, you know what a carburetor is, you know what a fan belt is. You make your own one.
I would be honored if we were trapped on an island and I had to build my own car like the professor out of coconuts.
And of course, I keep messing it up.
Honestly the only
I hate the fan belt.
The only downside to really enjoying the show is seeing every comedian I know pop up and never one name Adam.
Always the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
No, so, that is true. Whenever I'm in New York, especially because we shoot in New York, if I see a comic that hasn't been on the show, you just open with, I'm sorry. You're just like, I'm so sorry. We'll get to you. We will get to you.
You're on the list.
Yeah. And then at a certain point, you get into this thing where you go, Fitz dog, come on. Come on.
Again?
Again with Fitz dog, Dove, come on.
I mean, well, you know, Judd and I both love our community. That's what the show is about. It's about the hang. It's about the camaraderie. I think you'll agree. The best part of being a comedian is hanging out with comedians.
Yes.
Then you go home that first Thanksgiving after you've been a comedian a little while and you realize all your friends suck.
Well,
like, oh,
yes.
No, I thought you were funny.
They don't suck. They're just stupid.
They don't get it.
And it's also, the world could sort of be divided into like two groups. Like the people that want to devour your information and your outlook and your take and love it. And then the ones that are insanely annoyed by it and just want you to shut up, which is like everyone I grew up in North Hollywood with, which is like, they just go like, you'd say to them, you know, you could say to them, old standard joke, but you could say to them like, hot dogs come in a 10 pack, but the buns come in an 8 pack. Like, what's up with that? And they'd go, I don't know. Shut up. Who cares?
Yes. I ran into that in Boston. Imagine saying RoboCop isn't a good abbreviation for robot cop.
No, it's no
to my working class oil man father.
It's no fro-yo.
I did have jokes about ice packs too, about how I saw on the back of an ice pack. This is a real joke. It said, a bittering agent has been added to the contents to discourage consumption. And I was such a Seinfeld ripoff. I went, I love that. Because apparently, before, the ice packs were too delicious. I would go up on stage and pretty much talk in that cadence. That is how much of everyone starts as a ripoff, which is also something we explore.
Well, you definitely do your impersonation of a stand-up at the beginning.
Oh, for sure.
And then they're kind of guys, like I'm trying to kind of think without being douchey about it, but they're guys, I felt like their entire career was just like David Brenner. Always felt like he was doing a stand-up comedian 30 years into his career.
Like doing an impression of a stand-up comedian?
Yeah, he had a comedy book called, I think, You Never See Anyone Eating a Tuna Fish Sandwich or something, which it sounded like an observation, except for it doesn't ring true to me. What is David Brenner's book?
I want to read a stand-up
book
called...
He felt like he was doing, and the poor guy, the poor comedian who killed himself, Platypus Man.
Oh, Richard Jenny.
Richard Jenny. There are a handful of guys that I always felt like they were doing comedians. They're still making money and being successful and everything, but they didn't feel...
You thought they were playing the role or something. Well, it's a tricky thing.
I think
thing.
So, yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why, even if you're not in stand-up, you can relate to comedian characters, is because we're all trying to figure out who we are. Did you find it?
Nobody ever sees what?
All right, read the name of the
book.
All the way to the right.
Well,
all the way to the right.
Yeah, keep scrolling.
The clue will be what I said.
What?
Nobody ever sees you eat tuna fish.
They don't?
That is so funny.
And it's
funny.
A picture of him holding a whole tuna with like his sleeves rolled up and looking at it weird.
But that's not it. Is that a tuna? That looks like a snapper.
It's a smaller tuna.
And look at the other book titles.
Does this make sense? Does this like ring true or anything to anybody?
I think there's a terrorist in my soup and soft pretzels with mustard.
Anyway, he'll be missed.
A lot. They're all food based.
He'll be missed. That's you can't say that. No, but what I'm
saying
is.
He's on the next episode of Crashing, actually.
This is part and parcel of what I'm saying. Like, this feels like you go, oh, that's a stand-up comedian. And then you go, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what that
means. That's very interesting. A lot of us are
saying.
Does
that tuna thing mean anything to anybody?
I see it all the time.
Yeah. I had a tuna sandwich yesterday.
Yeah, there it is.
But did you have witnesses?
I was in the cancer center surrounded by nurses. So, yes.
Were they watching you?
They weren't studying.
Were they mistaken it for egg salad or chicken salad?
They brought it to me, so I have to imagine they witnessed it.
Okay.
They handed it to
All right, we found the one found person.
I'm shitting on David Brenner's point, but...
That's a phenomenon in comedy, is the false premise. We all know the false premise. And you see a lot of comedians that do this, which is like, you know, you go to the airport, there's always one guy eating a banana. It's like, is that? Yeah. But like, I actually don't mind it if it's funny, because it can be funny. If you can persuade me and get me sucked into your tornado of logic, even though I know it doesn't make sense, I'll give it up. I don't care.
The show is it feels like, in a weird way, oh, maybe this is a good thing. Pete is this good soul who probably comes from a background that's not very Artie Lang-esque.
Exactly.
And is then...
polite way to put it?
Sort of. Well, it's like somebody who has delicate sensibilities and is a little bit squeamish having to work as a paramedic.
Mm. Exactly.
Like, they're constantly getting out of the van going, like, oh, my God. That. And the other person is like going, give me a tourniquet. Like, right. Oh, my God, what's happening? Right, I can't look. Right, you know? Right. And so... Pete's character, being a very low-level stand-up, is just
subjected,
cast into this tornado of sex and drinking, and you know, you want to do a bump of cocaine and this club and that club, and he's very sort of fish out of water.
Yeah,
but he realizes that's his job. Like, totally. He must pursue it, but he must live amongst things that make him uncomfortable constantly.
It's like Band of Brothers, and I'm the guy named Kansas.
Hey, Kansas! Put your knife facing down, Kansas!
I always love it. I always love how Brooklyn-y Brooklyn's gotta be. That guy, Brooklyn-y. Yeah.
What's the one that you're describing, the Mel Gibson movie? Ridge. Oh, Heartbreak Ridge.
Oh, my. That guy was...
There was Brooklyn, there was Sully. Hey, Sully's from Boston. Did you know that?
Sully's always from Boston.
Of course he
is. That Brooklyn guy was
Brooklyn, guess where I'm from?
It's like if they opened a deli in a subway in Andrew Dice Clay's ass. Like, that's how crazy. Like, if I was on set, I probably would have told him to dial it down. Just
Hacksaw Ridge.
My name? Island. Staten Island.
Call me Stat for short.
Boy, I miss my ma.
Riddled
with bullets.
So how does
Not
it...
the guy from New York.
How does it work then with the... So we're about halfway in. And I should say Sunday's 10:30 on HBO.
Yeah.
We're about halfway into this season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm guessing we're doing a season 3.
Well, it's funny. I can't assume. We're waiting to find out. And this is kind of what Crashing is about. I got in touch with you, Adam, and I was like, I need to get the word out about the show. I love the show. Need people to watch the show. Need to watch the show? Watch the show. Icebox.
What's the name?
So I need people to watch it. So if there's anyone out there that's like, I'll just let it accumulate and I'll binge 3 seasons.
Don't.
We need you to watch the show to get the 3rd season. So please check it out.
And also, there's an element of just watch them. I look forward to Sunday nights and I look forward to Crashing. And it's not. I don't know. It's like, I don't want to see who stole the Grinch that stole Christmas in August. I just feel like watch it when it's on, enjoy it.
I'm with
and
you.
Do it in real time.
I miss the waiting for a week to do a show, and I'm glad we're waiting for a week to do a show.
The sort of foreplay of life that we're all trying to power through is not making anyone happier.
Oh, I completely agree. We're figuring out that having our needs met instantly doesn't actually make you happier.
My daughter last night was like, I was on answering a tweet or something, and it was like 7:20, and she came into the room with Phil the lab, and she said, I'm ready to walk to Starbucks. And I said, give me 20 seconds. Let me just finish this up. And she's like, 19, 18, 17. And I'm like, all right, don't be obnoxious. But literally, like in her life,
yes,
20 seconds is a long time to wait to go to Starbucks, and we need to get this going now.
Yeah.
And the shows should just be enjoyed as they come out, and then you can anticipate and look forward to the next one.
I completely agree. And then it's a different experience than watching it, like, really, really quickly.
So the schedule is you move to New York for X amount of months and shoot the season?
Yeah, we usually go for about 3 or 4 months. So I get to be in New York, which is obviously a great stand-up town, and play the seller. You get better as a stand-up while you're doing a show about stand-up, which is super fun.
Yeah, it'd be like doing a show where you played a fitness instructor. It's like lots of push-ups and lots of acting.
Totally.
I mean, you're sweating, right?
And yes, absolutely. I also really like that New York, like show business, doesn't want or need you.
Right.
Like if you quit showbiz just keeps going. Mm. It doesn't care at all. New York is kind of like the manifestation of what it's like to try and make it in show business. If you leave your crappy apartment, it's like, fine, there's a million people that want it, and we just raise the rent 30%.
Gina, you had a question?
Well, I was just thinking in terms of this show in particular, I've had 2 people in the last, I don't know, 6 months tell me that Crashing specifically got them through some very hard times in their personal life, going through breakups or ending marriages or whatever.
Yeah.
And having that element that you can identify with, but also that it's really funny and that you can laugh along, apparently very healing for people in that situation.
You know, there is a message that I always want to get out to people that are pursuing their dreams or just trying to live a good life, is that if it sucks, that's how you know you're doing it correctly. Like, you belong to a rich history and a long lineage of people that had to jump through crappy hoops to get to where they want to be, where they saw themselves being. And that's the message of the show. So a lot of people are like, hey, I'm also divorced. I was also raised religious. I also married the first person I ever knew. And I also have a dream. And we love doing a show in as close to real time as we can that shows just how difficult, but simultaneously funny it is.
Yep.
Not laughing at it later, laughing while it's happening. That's kind of the meaning of life as far as I'm concerned.
I will give a little love to DollarShaveClub.com, DollarShaveClub.com/Aaron. You can get your first shave kit for just $5. And Geico, go there, save 15% on your auto insurance. I'll tell you what, we'll take a quickie break, and then we'll come back with the news. And Pete Holmes, my favorite, right after this.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris, and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Another thing about the Scott Peterson case that has always puzzled us is the widespread, almost unanimous opinion that Scott was guilty before one piece of evidence was introduced. If you examine every high-profile case of the past 2 decades, O.J., Michael Jackson, Casey Anthony, Robert Blake, the Duke lacrosse team, Dr. Conrad Murray, you'll see that every one of the defendants had some group or constituency that argued on behalf of their innocence. But Scott Peterson didn't. When we took over the case, we soon found out that it was considered an accepted fact that he was guilty.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. News with Gino Grad.
People are worried about that trouble in the Middle East.
The news in the song. Gino Grad.
Lots to worry about. But speaking of stand-up, it's been a decade and the drought is over. Chris Rock will release his first comedy special in 10 years on Netflix. It's titled Chris Rock Tambourine. The special is going to cover contemporary issues like relationships, race, society. It was actually directed by Bo Burnham, another stand-up, and filmed at New York's Brooklyn Academy of Music. Tambourine is the first of 2 specials Rock will release on Netflix under a deal he signed in 2016, allegedly valued around $40 million. Rock Rock's last stand-up special.
Imagine
was,
how much he'd be getting paid if he was white like me and Pete.
Oh, you know
what
I mean? God.
What do you think we'd be in for? Oh, figure at least 20% more than the black guy, right? I mean, with the privilege and all.
Are you? Should you be talking about that?
I think we'd be good for 60, but I'm still going to wait on until it gets to 100.
It's a weird thing that the story now, we just have an appetite for it. It's like, what was the money?
Yeah,
that used to be Shamus. Like, what was it? It's got
to
be.
And they're happy to tell you. Now, his last, he directed the special Amy Schumer's Live at the Apollo for HBO in 2015, but he hasn't had his own special in 10 years.
How much? I was looking at two dope chicks.
Two dope queens.
Queens, sorry. Two dope queens.
This is my African chick.
Chick. My African queen, yeah. Horrible name for a boat. The African chick. And
two dope queens.
And it said, directed by Tig Notaro, and I just thought, how much is involved with the directing? Like, they come out, they do their stuff, and then, you know, John Stewart comes out, and then the comedian comes out. I get you need a director,
sure.
But, like, directing, not taking anything away from Tig, what I'm saying is, like,
dope queens.
You're doing, like, Chris Rock's special. Doesn't Chris Rock just come out and lay down an hour worth of stand-up?
There's angles, camera angles.
I get it.
You're doing a stand-up special soon. Maybe Pete Holmes could direct yours.
Look, I'll do it for $40
million.
$60 million. $60 million. Excuse me.
That's right.
And by the way, according to Chris, that special's up right now. It premiered yesterday.
That doesn't sound like Netflix.
Pete, let me ask you.
Let
me ask you this. I think something that sounded really cool in his last special, or it was the one before it, I can't recall, but you tell me through the eyes of a stand-up. What he did is he shot his special in all different cities.
Yeah.
Right? And they'd take bits from Boston and from San Francisco, South Africa. And I could see if somebody pitched that idea where you'd go, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
But all it did was let everyone know that he's saying the same thing every single night, which is...
It felt like an expose.
Right. And we're not really looking for that.
Watch as Chris Rock does the same setup in South Africa as he did in Chicago.
Now, we all know that's how it works, but the illusion is... Like magic, we know that Penn and Teller aren't warlocks, but they're so skilled.
Yes, I am!
That is bad.
That was my Gillette.
Well, and some breaking news here just from this morning. Amy Schumer, she got secretly married to her boyfriend, Chris Fisher.
Does he know?
It's
that big a secret.
Tuesday in Malibu, about 80 people in attendance. They tied the knot overlooking the Pacific in a beautiful setting.
She actually flew in the Atlantic for a different view.
Wow.
Jennifer Lawrence was in the wedding party. Larry David was there. David Spade, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Where's Jennifer Lawrence on my list of women who would never want to have sex with me? She's got to be top five, right?
She seems cool, but she's in the top 10 for
but
sure.
But she'd be disgusted.
She's happy to say no to you.
She'd be visibly damaged.
I don't think she'd want you to bring her a tray of garlic bread.
That's a good point. She wouldn't even want garlic bread or maybe even cheesy sticks.
Want garlic bread? The next question is going to be really tough.
That just bumped her up a few stops.
Yeah, I have a top 20 list of women who wouldn't want to have sex with me, and it's not really based on anything other than. But we all know it when we see it. The false premise of the banana in the airports and the tuna fish. We all go, huh?
Nobody can see.
You bring up Jennifer Lawrence, everyone's like, she'd hate that.
That's hilarious.
She would hate that.
It does ring true.
Why?
Like, I completely buy it. That is the banana in the airport.
The thing that's great about the list is it's not necessarily based on age or their sex appeal or anything.
Oh,
Chris
right.
will look.
It's all right.
Chris will look it up. She's not on the list?
That's an outrage.
I have your top 10
here. Who do we got to bump off the top 10 to get Jennifer Lawrence on?
So 10 is Katherine Heigl.
She might have to go.
She might have to hit the bricks.
Time is not
kind. Yeah, I agree.
And I hear she smokes, so she could probably handle me.
9 is Gwyneth Paltrow.
She stays.
8
is
Emma Watson.
That's your approach to women. What other filthy habits do you have?
Well, it's sort of like you're able to compromise certain parts in life, and no one really accuses you of your hair smelling if the person's smoking while they're doing it.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Sorry. So, Gwyneth Paltrow.
8 is Emma Watson.
Stays.
Hermione from
7, Ashley Judd.
This one's been debated for a while.
Country girl.
Now.
It's debated, yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Number six, Gloria Allred.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Five is Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four, Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
For the right amount.
Three, Michelle Obama.
Those days.
We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Lynette Carolla.
Yeah, that's rough.
And one, Lena Dunham.
I think
Catherine
Heigl.
I think we can make some room with Heigl.
Pete, you must know Lena Dunham.
I've met her a number of times.
Next time you talk to her,
I don't think she would do it.
No,
I don't want to go out on the limb.
That's good. No, it's confirmed. You just say we're right.
You do look a little hurt, though. You're like, great, great.
Yeah, moving on. I have kids who love me. Neighbors should respect me. Go back home.
Well, Brian, if you're not excited about this, I don't want to know you. That goes for you, too, by the way.
Oh, shoot.
The doors of the Cobra Kai dojo will reopen soon for a Karate Kid sequel, according to Entertainment Weekly.
It's the good Karate Kid or the Will Smith Karate Kid?
Hold that thought. Yeah. We're going to watch a trailer. It's been nearly 34 years since moviegoers saw Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence face off at the All-Valley Karate Tournament in The Karate Kid 1984. They met again on screen 2 years later with Karate Kid Part 2, and now Johnny is seeking redemption. So here's
the 45-year-old man.
Well, yes, with Johnny
ice cold.
With Johnny's life taking a turn for the worse, the first Cobra Kai teaser sees flashes of him reopening the old dojo. That doesn't sit well with Daniel, who's since been leading a picture-perfect life as a family man and successful car dealer. Can we watch the trailer? It's about 40 seconds.
Can you karate kick me in the face, please?
No, you have to watch.
I just need a quick karate kick right to the face.
Long
it's my commute. It's my trophies.
I just don't know why you'd ever want to bring back Cobra Kai.
Is this the pitch?
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak.
I can't.
You may know the moves, but none of that matters unless you have balance.
Quickly, to the docks. To the docks.
Would anyone know Cobra Kai if they didn't make four movies about Cobra Kai? Because in this world, they didn't make movies about Kai.
That's true. He's dusting off the dojo.
He's like, we got to bring back Cobra Kai. Everybody in the San Fernando Valley go, K?
The one,
you got Cobra Kai. Cobra K? Man, no one speaks English. No one knows. No.
Cobra the K. Legend hasn't gone far and wide.
You're absolutely right. That would be like a mom and pop Italian restaurant. It's like, we're opening our doors. It's like, we don't care because in our reality, you're not a movie.
In the context of the movie, though, the All Valley Karate Tournament is the Super Bowl of local sporting events.
Yes.
Everyone seems to know who they are. They have trophy walls. Like, it's they walk around in their gis.
Look. Also, I love it when there are no rules or weight divisions. They're simply like,
two kids.
We don't wear any padding on our hands, but we can strike to the face. But if you kick a guy in the knee, that's a point deduction. But if you put your heel and under the bridge of his nose, that's perfectly legal.
It's
ancient rules. Catch as catch can.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, any fighting discipline has a weight division like every 9 pounds. Mm-hmm. Maybe 14 pounds, but there's never the 185 going against the 141s. It's just they have all these divisions.
Don't worry. He's been training with an old man.
did you see that newspaper clip at the very beginning? Said something with Mr. Miyagi and Daniel said, mystery dojo with single student.
Single student. Yeah. Guess whose vending machine never has to be refilled? The dojo with one student. Not only are they health conscious, so they're staying away from the Pringles.
It's always a cliff bar.
Just the one.
All right, keep so it here going. We go. I want to see the rest.
Some rivalries.
Are you ready to learn the way of the fist?
Yes, sir!
Cobra Kai's back.
Never end.
Johnny, you and I, we aren't done.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's coming back.
Can we just leave it in the past?
No!
Leave it in the past! It belongs in the past!
A new generation
That's Ralph Macchio? That's his name?
That's Ralph,
I don't need to see Ralph Macchio, who looks like he's paid his taxes every year. You know what I mean? Like the guy who's been to H&R Block. He's haggard. He's had some coffee. He's had a few cigarettes. I want a child karate star.
You know, be a good
Karate Kid, not the Karate Man.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, be a good Thursday back in the day when these places were up and running.
Yeah, yeah.
A stop at H&R Block, mm-hmm. and then after that, You go to H Salt Fish and Chips.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, double H.
Double H. The two H's. And I'd be happy to tell my boss two and two with the H as I left with my shoebox
right
with receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made Karate Kid great was Mr. Miyagi. No, Miyago.
Not a special movie without him.
What about Marty Cove, Kreese, the original?
You know what? I don't even think these movies were good. The Karate Kid wasn't even good. It just was a movie.
Wow.
This was in a time when they had movies, and you're like, it's a movie? Like, movies were great. There's too many movies for this movie.
I don't care for your tone.
What would happen?
Are you
the greatest? You know, one of the greatest thing would be is. What movies would never find any traction today?
All of them? Tron? Tron.
Porky's.
We're in the internet. We're racing cars.
Yeah, Porky's would never work.
Never.
Porky's
never
wouldn't work. You know how much hardcore pornography people are watching now at the age of 9?
You're right. Was Chad McQueen, Steve McQueen's son, Chad, somebody said he was in the Cobra Kai. He was one of the, he was the get a body bag guy. Look, you don't have to watch Crashing.
His name was Dutch.
His name was Dutch.
Dutch.
You do have to watch Cobra Kai.
Oh, this is going to be so great.
Yeah, it was from Paso Robles. Wow. No, where was, where the hell's, wait, where's Anderson Split Pea?
Oh, that's,
Buellton.
That's where Dutch was from. Yeah.
He was?
I don't need this.
Karate Anderson was cool in the 80s. Is karate even cool?
Karate had a good run.
Karate's not cool.
Well, you know what happened with karate? What happened with karate is the same thing that happened with tattoos and Harleys and shaved heads, which is, I still think I could kick your ass. And I drive a Yaris. You know what I'm saying?
You're just coming at. Is that
there used to
Chad McQueen?
Chad McQueen. Now, so there used to be a thing which
looks
is
like my manager.
If you knew karate, you could kick my ass. Not because you could kick my ass, but because you know karate. Like there's a magical element to karate.
Using your ki against somebody.
And again, like some guy had a tattoo, he could kick your ass.
Right.
Not because he had ink in his arm, just because he was a badass. Like, right. But that's kind of gone now with karate,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's true.
It had his day.
You know how
Seagal and Van Damme got old.
That's
it
true.
It used to. There was like every, when I was growing up, every junior high had the one kid who studied the martial arts and would show up on whatever day with his gi on or whatever.
When he got a new belt.
Right. You'd get the new belt or he had the weird slip-off shoes, and all that kind of stuff. And
he had his lunch with chopsticks.
Yeah, you would never mess with that dude. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what he knew. And it was probably nothing. And I guarantee my buddy Ray could have pummeled his ass with
Ray.
An old-fashioned just sort of bully mentality.
See the kid in the pajamas, Ray?
Get him. But you didn't mess with that kid.
Right.
No, because he had discipline.
Yeah, now not so much. I just feel like that it doesn't have the mystique. Yeah.
Well, there's that great James Brown line where he goes, I don't know karate, but I know karese.
Yes!
I love that
That's
line.
That's a good one.
That's Ray. Ray will tear off your ear.
That's right.
He didn't study in a gym
in first.
That used to be a Curves. Yeah. He will rip off your ear.
And by the way, you know, we talk about the IMDb rating and how it's always kind of just the same, no matter what.
7.4.
7.4. I was eight, yeah, a little higher.
7.2.
Wow. They never have a higher number. It's like somebody sent me Black Panther, and I think it was 100% Rotten Tomatoes top critic. IMDb 6.6. Like they just never.
Wait, IMDb is the harsh one.
They're somewhere between 6.5 and 7.5. Look. Goonies 3 and On the Waterfront are both like a 7, somewhere between a 6.5 and a 7.5. Like they're just, they just won't do it. I don't know. The one that I somebody sent to me the other day, which does steam my bean. Sorry to use the harsh language.
Can we say that?
I made a movie called The Hammer. And it would show up back in the day on like HBO or Showtime or whatever. And sporadically, but it would show up. And it was, I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it was certified fresh. It had 80% with the critics and 81% with the top critics and like 89% with the people. And when it would show up on HBO and they had the stars, it would be 5 stars and it'd be 2.5. And I'd always be like, who is grading this? And it's HBO. It's your station, and you bought this movie to put on your station.
Doesn't it behoove you?
Anywhere you look, it's 80% plus. Why? Right. You're giving it 50%, it's like a yard and it's
sale.
Yours.
It's like, do you want any of this crap?
Yeah, it's like a bad
yes,
yard sale.
Yes, I can be talked down.
You could make it 3 stars or even 4 stars, yeah. And you wouldn't get into trouble.
Give it a 5. Or give it a 5.
It's your station.
You want them to watch.
Where do you get the 2.5?
Where is the code of ethics that you think you're going to be chased down Terminator 2 style if you give this 5 stars?
I think my favorite tweeted.
How's the chicken piccata?
It's okay.
It's on to your main. It's free country.
It's okay. Right.
The waiter. Yeah. I don't eat here. I love the I don't eat here waiter. Have a nibble, Chet.
Sorry. Yeah, The Hammer. My movie's a 7.3 on IMDb.
Of course it is.
And Black Panther's a 7.3.
Same movie, interchangeable, completely.
Black Hammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I like
remember last year when there was that woman in the news that was like pooping on people's lawns in Colorado Springs?
Yes.
We talk about her
yes.
every once in a while,
and it made it seemed very bizarre, but then turned out she did a lot of long distance running, right?
Long distance running.
Easy. Yeah. Yeah. Save it for crashing, Pete.
I'm here to promote crashing Sunday nights at 10:30.
A new pooper has been apprehended, this time in Connecticut, another lady. Mm. So police credit a motion-activated camera with helping them capture a suspect in 3 cases of feces being found in the middle of a cul-de-sac, according
to Fox. A movement-activated camera.
Yes.
Keep going. There's 2 more paragraphs.
2 more?
He's rehearsing the bombing scene.
This is what killing sounds like, my friend.
A warrant was issued, and 43-year-old Holly Malone was taken into custody after an unrelated traffic stop.
She looks like she's shitting in the picture.
Connected her with the vehicle in the video. So she got pulled over anyway, and they're like, wait a second, that car looks familiar.
And it stinks.
She was, she was charged with breach of peace and creating hazardous
not
conditions.
All she breached.
She was released on bond and is scheduled to be arraigned on March 1st. State police said in
she released a bond.
Three separate incidents, feces and toilet paper were found on the roadway. Police said a suspect was identified and admitted her involvement with the incident. Police said she told them that she's lactose intolerant and sometimes is stupid and doesn't avoid dairy. She said she apologized for her actions into the victim.
Ask chins.
Can I?
Ask chins.
You know, it's a sad. You know, it's a default, a weird, sad default setting everyone has who's either out of their mind or high on mescaline is going right for the Duke.
Oh, sure.
Like, it's never like, I'm going to watch PBS. I'm high out of my mind.
No.
And it's
I'm going to watch Nova.
Yes.
It's always, where could I poop that I'm not supposed to?
And it's never like, where's my wok? I want stir fry. It's always like something fecal. Like we chained him down, but he started grabbing his own feces. He drew a pentagram. And he was out of his mind. But why?
Why is the
default mode go for your own crap? Yeah.
Because we're supposed to be pooping outdoors. We are being suppressed as a people.
Oh.
We have to go in these little porcelain cathedrals.
Are you one of those poop apologizers?
Yes. I'm taking everything in me to not share right now.
You tell me. I'm going to go ahead and pre-label myself hero for this action, but you tell me. Brian and I have disagreed a little bit on this subject, but I don't think Brian is going to disagree on this, my neighborhood is filled with people who walk their dogs all goddamn day long because there's inevitably somebody the way my neighborhood breaks down is somebody's just home and the other person's at work. Mark Garagus is at work and his wife is home and she's walking all the time. And people just walking their dogs all the time and they have the little poop bag and the dog takes the poop and now they're mid walk. Like they could be a mile away from their house and they have the poop bag.
Like you won a terrible goldfish at a carnival.
Yes. And the neighborhood, the worst of all goldfish.
It'll grow to the size of the bowl. You put it in.
Yeah. So now, here's the deal. There is no place to toss this because all the lawns are well done and everything is well manicured. And there can't be any like that. There's a vacant alley back there and I'll just chuck it at that hobo. There is none of that. There's no big, you know, it's like, oh, it's a construction site. I'll throw it in the dumpster or whatever. There's no place to put it. So now you're walking and you're carrying literally a doggy bag of Duke. And I then came upon the first set of trash cans. Now, what happens is trash day is Tuesday. And if you don't get your cans back in by Tuesday night, Wednesday, people that are walking their dog and carrying this will start using. I walk up to them to see if they're full or empty. Mm-hmm. If they're full of leaves, I'll throw it right in the top of the green trimmings one. If they're empty, I won't throw it in there because my dog's poop will then have to return with them to their garage or their drive up the driveway, and then I'll have to live there.
This is your life
for,
now.
For the week.
Yeah.
Right.
And enjoying my dog's DNA.
I don't think it's fair. I opened one yesterday. It had about 5 bags of poop at the bottom of it, and I didn't drop it in there because I just thought, this person's like got to bring a full diaper of other dog's poop back up to their house. And it's not, you know, they're not going to get hepatitis, but they are going to be emptying the garbage 3 days from now. And if it's a little hot outside, they're going to open it. It's probably not what they're looking for. Yeah. So I just sort of, I kept walking until I found one that was filled with leaves. Where would you guys be at with this?
I'll just follow up because I have strong opinions for 3 reasons and equal opportunity. I am both ways. People walk, my bins are on the street right now because garbage day was yesterday. I haven't brought them in yet. Throw your dogs, wrapped up, of course, tied off. Throw it in my bin. And if I'm walking my dog and you have a black bin on the street, I'm throwing it in your bin for a couple of reasons. One, it's not your bin. It's the city. So how dare you think you have dominion over it? Number 2.
That's flawed.
Why?
If we put dog poop in it, technically
your
the dog
bin.
Has
you pay for it, and it's yours to. It's you've rented out that space,
but it's on public property. It's right there on the sidewalk, and it belongs to the city.
I don't like that logic.
That's a weird logic.
I think you should go.
One.
It's like saying your car's parked on public.
That belongs
public
to
street.
You. That's private property. That's private. You own that car.
But what if they filled your trash can with garbage all the way up to the top?
That would be sociopathic behavior, and I would not do that. But for race,
no.
But as long as
it's not yours, when it's on the street,
that's
the logic
extreme. But
But I'm just saying, what if they filled it halfway or put a bunch of garbage in there, and they went, "Hey, man, so that's your can. It's on the street."
I guess I would never throw more garbage than
not you. Others.
I would be frustrated if someone filled up my can halfway with anything.
I find this part of the argument flawed because
really?
I feel like
I think
well,
it's the ultimate logic.
It's not the ultimate odds. It's your trash can that you pay taxes and you have this space.
You should go the human route. You should say, what's the harm? Trash stinks
anyway.
That's
my second, yeah.
Right.
It's a trash can.
This one I don't abide by, but what is the next one?
It's a trash can, and I'm throwing away trash. And if you're throwing yours in mine,
but it's not trash. It's fecal matter.
But it's not raw. It's wrapped up. It's tied up. But you're doing
what
your trash can.
What if the bag is scented?
Adam? Yeah, what if the bag's scented?
Scented bag.
Like dog shit?
Yeah.
Of course. Premium dog shit, though. Like a very fancy
purebred. I don't get precious about my can or my shit.
I'm not precious about it. I just feel like you have to drag it in to your wherever you keep your cans.
I feel like you're Larry
it can
David-ing
get pretty
right
damn hot where my neck of the woods. It can be like 111 degrees in the dog days, pardon the pun, of summer. And I wouldn't mind. I have no problem with the I brought the trash cans out, you're sitting on top of the trash. I just feel like the parting gift as I'm bringing the cans, as I'm bringing what I think is an empty can back to my garage area, it's got your dog's Duke in it.
Yeah.
I think if you had a magic poop wand, well, here's what I'm saying. If you said to anybody, you get A or B, would you like to take the can back poopless or tied up nicely, someone else's dog poop? Everyone would say poopless.
Yeah, of course.
So if that's the answer, and that there's another modality that the person could get rid of the poop, then I'm just going to err on the how would you like it?
The best answer should be bring your own poop home to your house. Most people don't want to do that,
I like your poop exchange or your poop buddy idea where I find someone a half mile from my house and they use my house
off,
and they have a dog that poops. We'd have to weigh them,
right.
You know,
yeah.
And we go, look, you can be my poop buddy, right? Like I can, here's the deal. I'll drop some poop in your spot and you in turn can drop some poop in my spot. Okay. That I'm down
with. It could be yours.
Poop mates.
But also,
poop mates.
We've talked about this. We've talked about this before. And what my argument was going to be was it beats the alternative, which was your last time we talked about this is something that Brian and I said we would never do.
That's no good.
Well, I had a hill with covered in ivy, and I threw the poop in the hill covered with ivy, which you couldn't.
How say you, Pete?
Pete's initial reaction was horror.
Yeah, you did look horrified.
I don't know why. Why is that? Why? By the way, that crosses some threshold. Like it's just an ivy hill. I just threw the poop
on your property.
No. No, it was on my property.
Adam, by your logic that the poop smells from the bag despite if it's tied off, that's the most sociopathic.
No, I don't say it smells from the bag.
Well, then why not drop it in the trash can?
I say.
Because it smells?
No. Well, first off,
oh, man.
If you're taking... First, you're obviously something's wrong with you, Brian, because you said this is public property when it's out on the street and anyone can use it. That's an insane premise. It's an insane premise. Okay. Nobody would go for that. If anyone saw anyone using somebody's trash can to throw their trash in, they'd immediately object to it.
There's a big difference between their trash and a doggy bag. But I keep going. Sorry.
But so here's the thing. The poop, depending on the temp and depending on how good a job they did tying it off. I'm not always an expert at getting like a hermetic seal going on.
Sailor knot.
On my thing. But I don't, and possibly a psychological thing, I don't like the idea of the poop in the can, especially when it's hot outside, and especially if I'm going out there multiple times to open it and throw the stuff in. If I had an ivy bank on the side of the hill that was, you know, not somebody's, It's not someone's topiary
but
in front of their
the
house.
City's but, property?
Just yes, free the land. City's property. I don't know whose property it is, but, you know, between the houses or whatever, the ivy into nowhere that nobody goes and nobody walks in and nobody hangs out or barbecues in, and I can throw it in such a manner where it's not visible.
Disappears completely.
I would prefer that than somebody put it in my can.
Even though you know that you now live in a neighborhood where there is poop bombs in bags sort of in the neighborhood in the ivy.
Yes, because no one's going into the ivy and no, why won't poop bombs? I don't, it's in the ivy, yeah. Like, okay. I figure it'll rain enough and eventually
you're going to cover yourself in cooking oil,
helter skelter.
You're
going to
roll in that ivy and you will not be a Jew.
I assume it'll return to the earth at some point.
Can I make two
of those bags?
Biodegradable.
Though. Didn't we look into that?
Some are.
Well, I have 2 points.
That would be my grief.
Adam,
yes.
I want to hear what you say.
Mm-hmm.
One, when you're taking out a bag of trash, who opens the trash, takes a deep inhale, and then puts the trash in?
That was
it's
my
totally
fault.
Easy it's to open quick. It, throw it in, close it.
Move on.
I think that's called the smell flaw. Nobody's going,
right.
Somebody's
I agree
been
with that.
It.
I agree
Two,
with that.
While I agree that it is better to not do it, and I don't do it near my house, I will walk a good couple blocks holding my dog's poop. How often, though, do we have an opportunity to do something nice? Like if I caught someone putting poop in my trash can, that's a rare opportunity. Take it to be neighborly and be like,
it's a mitzvah.
I don't want you walking around my Jew people. LSD taking
I would never say anything if somebody did it to my trash can.
Yeah.
It's just not my wiring. But I felt bad for the person that had about 5 poop bombs at the bottom of their can.
I wish we could call them.
And I did not want to add to
they
them,
did not know.
To their distress.
I assure you they did not know. I don't know why that voice.
All right, let me tell you guys about
I can't wait for that Cobra Kai.
A very neighborly group here.
Yes.
Dollar
Shave Club.
Hold on. What? Could be the ultimate entry in my coffee table book of what black people think white people talk about all day.
This is a good one.
We just did 20 minutes on what to do with our dogs.
Are flip-flops appropriate for city environments?
Yeah, that's another thing. Check
John
of another
Tesh
one.
As a musician, not a host.
Underrated. Underrated. Overshadowed.
Quicken. Yeah. Pro or con?
All right, I'll tell you about Dollar Shave Club.
Weak
tea.
Oh,
man. They deserve
the
a gold
tea?
Medal. Everything you need to look and smell and feel your best. Shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, and of course, the best razors I've ever used. You get an amazing deal over there at Dollar Shave Club. I use them every morning. Plus, Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. It helps the razor gently glide across your beautiful skin. DollarShaveClub.com. They deliver everything to you. No more trips to the store. No wandering down the aisles. No having to get the guy to unlock the razor cartridges or match it up with the generic version or whatever it is. It's Dollar Shave Club. We all use it here. You get the cartridges in the mail, and they get it every month. Just a very nominal fee, and it's just the way to go. It is. Dollar Shave Club, right, Dawson?
Go for the gold. Join Dollar Shave Club today for just $5 with free shipping, and you'll get their Shit Shower and Shave Starter Set. It has a 6-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, and one wipe Charlie's. Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. Get yours at DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Adam.
Is the wipe for the shit? You shit and you wipe your butt?
But don't throw it in my can.
No, not in his neighborhood.
The, you brought up tea, and I thought this is, it made me think of something, which is, I experienced this with my mom a few weeks ago.
When you make that face, it's a great Gilbert Gottfried impression. That's him. He's in the room. Who is on
people who drink tea think...
They're better than us.
They think they're better than you, but they also think it's sort of this universal whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll like come over and you'll go, you want a Coke or Diet Coke or beer? And they go, could I have a hibiscus tea? And you go, I don't know. Lynette, do we have tea? And they'll go like, hibiscus.
Well, let me just like, let me see your tea box, like, and I'll
don't have
it
that
out.
Basket that they offer at the
hibiscus.
And it's like
you're gonna have to go.
And I think my mom wanted she had a scratchy throat, and she wanted ginger tea.
Sure, you didn't have any.
And
on
we
hand?
Just drink coffee or wine or beer, water, whatever. And she's like, so like none at all. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no, I don't.
It's a premium.
I'll take like a ginger something. And we're like. No, and she couldn't wrap her mind around it because I think people who do this or like who have
just assume
that everyone is into their thing.
Yep.
And nothing's easier to transport than a tea bag, I would argue, when it's dry.
I have one on me right now.
You do?
He knows.
I'm a nut.
Should I use one of the wipes?
I'm talking my nuts. I was born with a tea bag, I'll die with
a
tea
bag. That was like a Snoop Dogg move.
I got a tea bag.
These nuts. Yeah, it's weird, right? And then it's
a premium item,
and they don't accept no. They have to do like three laps on it. Like, so no, okay, nothing at all.
I'll just take a chamomile then. Right. No, we don't
like,
have that.
I don't think we have tea. And they're like,
a mint.
Someone stole your tea. And it's like we don't really drink tea. Like they.
It doesn't have to be loose leaf. I'll just take one of the bags.
Fine. I'll have a hot cocoa.
Fine, I'll post them.
Yep.
All right, one more.
All right, well, this is pretty disgusting, but I can't be left with this information alone. So, you know how some people are super into pimple popping and watching those YouTube videos?
No.
I'm not. It seems to be a female thing for some reason, I've noticed, but it freaks me out. There's now a pimple popping toy.
You know the best place to get a zit?
Oh, no. Where?
In her nose.
No.
It's
just like a little hermit.
The best place is, it never happens. But the ear, like the ear lobe or the ear.
I've never
seen that. All the skin is like you could take needle nose pliers to like an ear. And then secondly, if you've ever gotten a zit in your ear and you pop it, you hear
it's pulled pretty taut.
You hear it pop. Yeah.
I regret that.
I'll put a drinking glass up to a pimple before I pop it just to get that echoey reverberation that I live for.
Oh, my God.
Kind of miss a zit. Good zit in a while.
I'll take an ingrown hair any day over a pimple. But this is disgusting. This is called YouTube videos of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Not a real doctor. I am Dr. Pimple Popper. I'm definitely not the fugitive that's running and ducked into this hospital.
You can now have your fantasies met with the Pop It Pal. So this is a new toy. It's a toy. It looks like a slice of cheese.
With
a small hole in it. When you squeeze the zit, it excretes something. It's meant to mimic the satisfaction.
In the future, you women can play with this while we bang our robots. And I feel it's going to be a nice fair trade.
Can you really not find a greasy neighborhood boy to help out? You need to buy this. No.
And it's not free. If you want the toy, it's $20. And if you want the bottle of extra goo, it's $6.
Oh, the extra goo.
You got to refill it?
Were you guys... One of my things that I cannot wait to discuss with my kids is how to handle a zit. They're
not there yet?
They're 11.
They're fresh face.
I keep my fingers crossed. Hopefully they'll surprise me when I get home today. But what I'm saying is I've never spoke to an adult who talked to their parents about zits. But why wouldn't you? Like,
like you didn't have them.
And when
this thing comes on
when
you're like 14 or 15, it ruins your life, and there's nothing, and you do like, and you're busy like going, oh, I won't eat that chocolate bar. I don't want to break out. And what I need to do is scrub with more dishwashing detergent. I need harder scrub.
Rubbing alcohol.
Like, don't touch it.
Don't touch it. Like, all this stuff. How come never a conversation? No. Every adult I talk to. Why were your parents so literally hands off? I will have nothing but tips for my children in the zit department.
And I don't know if this is true, and I probably should have Googled it before I speak, but I have a friend who absolutely swears by the fact that if you take your fingers and make like a diamond between the bridge of your nose and your chin, so this whole area that's inside the diamond, you should never under any circumstances touch that area if you have a zit, because apparently you have nerve endings in this specific spot that will go right to your brain and could kill you.
Pete, you know, if your hand is bigger than your face, it means you're retarded.
What?
Yeah.
Put your hand up. But that's specifically...
Why did that make a good hit sound?
My feeling...
Docile sweetness.
It was bad.
Big mistakes with zits is going at them before they're ripe,
ready.
Before they're ready.
Oh, my God.
And the one that
Pick
Drew...
no grape for its time.
Yep. The one Drew hates, but I used to tell people to do it on Loveline all the time, is I would always lance it.
With a needle?
Get a needle and just lance it. And then once you lance it, don't push it together. Pull it apart. You lance and pull real hard, and you can drain all of it out, and you don't aggravate and irritate. It doesn't grow.
You know what nobody's talking about either is the pinch method of wiping your butt. I'm being real. You go
what
in from the front.
No.
This way. Yes. No. Hear me out.
You're presenting it.
Hear me out.
With your prodigious tea
Lift
bag.
Lift your tea bag up. I'm not saying I do it. I'm saying it's a possibility. You tuck your bag up. You go in like this. And you pinch towards the butthole. You guys are wiping, smearing away from the butthole. Get in there and pick it up like dog poop and don't put it in Adam's ivy.
Wow, we got a theme going
women
on
Women don't
today.
Do that. Never do that.
I found that less gross than the zits.
In
stuff.
Terms of wiping advice, it begins and ends with.
On your feet to clean your seat.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
On your feet
awesome.
To clean your seat.
I've never popped a pimple in my entire life.
What?
Never. Not once.
What?
Because the very act of doing that, I can't even do it on myself.
It's
the idea
gross.
Of it.
It's gross.
It hurts too bad. I'm afraid of what's going
scratcher?
To happen.
Do you scratch them?
I didn't. I
you
guess.
Lance, let me guess. You never you had pimples. You've never had a
no,
pimple.
No, I certainly didn't have perfect skin, but it was, you know, you have some sometimes. I just went about my life. I've never popped a pimple.
Wow.
It's too scary.
I feel like you've missed out.
Really?
But in a weird way, we should put together the things in life that aren't enjoyable, but you'd like to at least say, I experienced
like if
it.
If an alien
like,
came here, he'd
gotten your ass beat by bully or something like that. You know, or got into a scuffle with a schoolmate or something, like some version of that.
I'll grab some
yelled
olive
at
oil.
By a cop, you know, like stuff you wouldn't want to do, but you
did. It's a rite of passage.
It's part of the rich pageantry of
right.
life.
Yeah.
Thrown out of a restaurant for causing a scene.
Flipping a table.
That's an experience.
Yeah. Wiping from the front.
Wiping from the front. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Trying to think what I've been asked. The greatest restaurant story of my life was, I'll tell you about Geico first, then I'll tell you about it. Everyone's got the to-do list, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to pick anything up, you don't have to drop anything off. Just go to geico.com, 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket and get an HBO subscription, watch Crashing over there, 10:30 Sunday nights there, man. One of the best shows on TV.
Oh, man.
Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance.
I love Geico. Could that be vaguer? 15 minutes, you could save 15% or
it's
more.
It's likely. Yeah.
I'm not it's saying likely. It's 15%. I'm just maybe.
Very likely.
I was in New York City. I was in Manhattan. I was having dinner with Daniel Two Sheets Kellison from the Man Show and his wife at
Dan
the time.
Dan the Man.
Dan the Man. And I was explaining that I was breaking up. Lynette and I were breaking up, and she was getting a condo, and we were separating, and blah, before we were married. And I said, I'm gonna put the down payment down on a condo, and then she's going to make the payments on a condo. And he was like, you should make the payments on the condo. And I was like, I don't want to make the payments on the condo. I'll put the down payment down, and she'll make the payments. And he's like, why don't you pay for it? You got money. She works, but she doesn't have money. You have. It's the least you could do. And I said,
wow.
I think she should pay for the condo. It may sound convenient, but so she feels like she owns the condo. It's her condo. It will be her condo. It still is her condo. Our nanny lives in the condo. But I want her to feel like ownership. Ownership. I'll put the down, which I can handle, and then she'll make the small monthly payment, which she can handle. And he's like, you should pay for it. And it kept going for like 20 minutes of him sort of yelling at me that I should pay him it. And at a certain point, this guy sitting at the table next to us just turned it down and went, "Will you shut up? Just please shut up. I can't enjoy my meal. I let him pay for the condo. Just shut up already. Just shut up." It was like we'd been sitting on it for like 30 minutes. Obviously, he'd probably been drinking the whole time.
That was a young Pete Holmes.
There's nothing better than you're having a disagreement with someone for some reason.
Shut up!
I was left out of the equation. He completely focused on Dan. I'm just shut up.
That's
I've
great.
Never been more satisfied in my life. Goodness. All right. So live shows everywhere. You go to AdamCarolla.com. And I'll tell you what. Pete Holmes, everyone. Yeah. Crashing. Love.
Thank you.
And I
10:30 Sunday.
Yeah, I watch it at 7:30 here.
New York.
I get a little sneak peek over there. Sunday, 10:30, HBO. And you can binge watch season one and half of season two. But once you're caught up. So, until next time, this is Adam Crowley, Dennis Prager, Pete Holmes, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
What a lucky dude I am.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter and give him a thumbs up on Facebook at Adam Carolla voicemail if you want to leave us a message. 888-634-1744 and get tickets to a live show coming up March 2nd, Thunder Valley Casino outside Sacramento. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.